Blog Talk Radio.
Want to welcome you this evening to Advent Ministries Prayer Line. I pray that all is well. Again, I just want to welcome each and every one of you to this blessed day of rest that God has made for each and every one of us. And he wants us to keep it holy. Amen. So I will... share another song. Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day of rest. I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for your love for each and every one of you. I thank you for your grace, Lord. I thank you for who you are. You are loving God. You are our creator. You are Lord of Lord, King of King. And Lord, you are worthy to be praised. And I just want to glorify and magnify your name right now. I want to praise you for the blessing that you have bestowed upon us as we come into your Sabbath day of rest, Lord, holy day of rest, oh Father. What a joy it should be for us to come into this holy Sabbath day of rest and just thanking you for your blessing, thanking you for your mercy, thanking you for your love, Lord. We thank you for each and every brothers and sisters that will be joining us, oh Father. May you bless them in a marked way. May you fill them with your Holy Spirit, oh Father, so we can worship you in spirit and in truth, oh Lord. You are truly worthy to be praised, oh Father. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our trespasses, whatever we have said or done that's not like you, oh Father. Please help us. Please, Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, oh Lord, so that we can truly love you with all our hearts, our mind, and our soul. And we just thank you ever so much, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I will play a song, and the song is Day of Days Dying in the West, and I will play, amen.
Worship while the light that's hurrying.
What a beautiful song. Heaven and earth are praising thee. Heaven and earth are full of thee, O Lord Most High. We have to give God praise and glory unto his name. And we ought to worship him as this is his Sabbath. Amen. So praise the Lord. And I will play another song. We'll play another song. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. What a beautiful song. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters.
Chapter 2, The Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from his very presence as the fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul, yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts are open to him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The spirit of the Pharisee, "God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men," expressed the feeling of his class and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fishes the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of his purity, felt that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They longed for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and they had turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. They are the poor in spirit whom he declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, he first makes penitent, and it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. Those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God see that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent, for Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. God's promise is, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and I will put my spirit within you." Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. The ensign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." He bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. We are not worthy of God's love, but Christ our surety is worthy and is abundantly able to save all who shall come unto him. Whatever may have been your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off and will throw about you his arms of love and his robe of righteousness. He presents us to the Father, clothed in the white raiment of his own character. He pleads before God in our behalf, saying, I have taken the sinner's place. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me. Does Satan...
Amen, amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening. Happy Sabbath to each and every one. And I've done a prayer earlier before the recording of this Mount on Blessing. I'll just do a short prayer again. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, as we can come together and join on this holy Sabbath day of rest. We thank you for health and strength. We thank you for provision. We thank you, O Father, that we're still here to glorify and magnify you. Help us, Lord, to come up higher. Help us, O Father, to worship, continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless our means, Lord. We come before you with our hands empty, O Father, and we ask him for your blessing. We ask him for your mercy, your love, Lord, so that we, in return, as we get these things, we'll give it to others and we'll feed them and we'll show them Christ-like love. And what we say and do, Lord, bless our bless us as we come together to glorify you, to magnify you, to call upon you, to confess our sins, O Father, to be encouraged and to be blessed, O Father. We thank you ever so much. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm reading from Mind, Character, and Personality, Chapter 27, Commandments Based on Principle of Love. The principle of the Decalogue are adapted to all mankind, and they were given for the instruction and government of all 10 precepts. Brief, comprehensive, and authoritative, cover the duty of men to God and to his fellow men, and all are based upon the great fundamental principle of love, patriots and prophet also. Jesus and the law of sympathetic love. The law of God was chargeless in its character. And therefore, Christ gave himself a sacrifice in behalf of fallen man. And Adam lost Eden and was placed with all his prosperity upon probation. Had the law of God been changed in one precept since the expulsion of Satan from heaven, though he would have gained on earth after his fall, that which he could not have gained in heaven before his fall. He would have received all that he asked for. We know that he did not. The law remains unalterable as the throne of God. And the salvation of every soul is determined by obedience or disobedience. Jesus, by the law of as sympathy, love for our sin, took our punishment and drank the cup of wrath of God appointed to the transgressor. He bore the cross of self-denial, of self-sacrifice for us, that we might have life, eternal life. Will we bear the cross for Jesus? And that is the question for you and I, brothers and sisters. Will you bear the cross for Jesus? So we all individually have to answer that question. Am I bearing the cross for Jesus? What am I doing for Jesus? Am I showing the love of Jesus? And am I willing to give up all for Jesus? Because we know, as he said, the birds, you know, have their nest, but he have nowhere to rest his head. And soon there will come a time when we have to leave all we have, because we know and we trust and have faith that Jesus will protect us and he will provide for us and he's coming for us, because this is not our home. Amen. So please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, so that we can start sharing. So at 8 o'clock, a little after 8, we'll get into our prayer. So we hope to have everyone able to share. So I wanted to start opening the line. Please don't wait till it's too late to share. Please press 1 so that I can open your line so that you can share and everyone will get a chance to share within this 30 to 35 minutes so we can give God the praise, the glory, and the honor. I'll go ahead and open the first line. Again, happy and blessed Sabbath, brothers and sisters. I am in Virginia. Amen. 518-482, your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carter, for opening my line. This is Sister Cantinelli from upstate New York. I am so happy when the Sabbath hours come. I can't even find words to describe how happy I am, even though I do not go to church. But I am worshiping in my home, in the church without walls, and I'm very happy that I can come here this evening to, you know, just give some kind of hope to what in for these days in which we are living in. And this evening, I just want to thank God for keeping me safe during the week, for giving me strength, for thanking him for the snow, because I went and did my first shovel today, and it wasn't much, but it was a good exercise, and I love to shovel the snow because it's my exercise. I had a good exercise, and I'm happy about it. I'm not sore. I'm very, a little tired, but not too much because thank God for energy. Yes. I'm this afternoon, and what made me more happy, I got to see my sister who is sick in the Poconos there. My niece gave me a little view of her, and so she looks so good. So I'm happy that I know she's well taken care of by her daughter, though she has to work and come home and, you know, somebody help her there. She is doing very well. Well, for my brother in the home here, I can't even go there right now because they have the other sickness, the other virus. They have 2 cases there, so they have them in their homes. But he's doing fine. He's doing just fine, although he falls down. He's a busybody. He falls so many times. But my brother, he goes there and tries to keep up with what is going on there. So I'm just thankful to God for being here this afternoon and to join this online. I wouldn't be long. I read this from this little reading here. Happiness is unselfish service. But remember that happiness, I'm reading from the minister's email. It says, but remember that happiness will not be found in shutting yourself up to yourself, satisfied to pour out all your affection upon each other, seize upon every opportunity for contributing to the happiness of those around you. Remember that true joy can be found only in unselfish service. And I worked for a few years well at the Albany County Nursing Home. I worked there for at least around 20 years. So I did a lot of service. So I'm thankful to God for this. It says, forbearance and unselfishness mark the words and acts of all who live the new life in Christ. As you seek to live his life, striving to conquer self and satisfy and to minister to the needs of others, you will gain victory after victory. Thus, your influence will bless the world. Men and women can reach God's ideal for them if they will take Christ as their helper. What human wisdom cannot do, his grace will accomplish for those who give themselves to him in loving trust. His providence can unite hearts to bonds that are of heavenly origin. Love will not be a mere exchange of soft and flattering words. The loom of heaven weaves the warp and woof finer, yet more firm, than can be woven by the looms of earth. The result is not a tissue fabric, but a texture that will bear, wear, and test. Will bear, wear, and test, and trials. Heart will be bound to heart in golden bonds of love that is enduring. It says better than gold is a peaceful home, right? Where all the fireside charities come, the shrine of love and the heaven of life, hallowed by mothers or sisters or wife. However humble our home may be, or tried with sorrow by heaven's degree, the blessing that never were brought or sold and centered there are better than gold. And this is just a little thought there by Animus. Yeah. And I want to sing this song because I love to sing these early Advent hymns, because they really encourage me and give me a lot of hope. How sweet are the tidings that greets the pilgrim's ear as he wanders in exile from home. Okay, if you know this song, you can join in with me, Sister Carlin. It's 669, but you have to get the old hymn book. How sweet are the tidings that greets the pilgrim ears as he wanders in exile from home. Soon, soon will the Savior in glory appear, and soon will the kingdom come. The mossy old graves where the pilgrims sleep shall be open as wide as before. And the millions that sleep in the mighty deep shall live on this earth once more. He is coming, coming, coming soon, I know. Coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. There we meet near the path in our happy Eden home. Sweet songs of redemption we'll sing. From the north, from the south, all the ransomed shall come and worship our heavenly King. He is coming, coming, coming soon, I know. Coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah again. Soon, if faithful, we all shall be there. Oh, be watchful, be hopeful, be joyful to them, and the crown of bright glory we'll wear. He is coming, coming, coming soon, I know. Coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims will to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. And my little encouragement for us this evening is to be faithful. Keep faithful. Ask the Lord to help us not to divorce from what we know, but when we open the Bible to read, let's ask God to give us an understanding heart that we may be able to understand what we read and to discuss with others so that they too can learn of God's way. located in New Jerusalem. So this evening, I just want to give God praise and thanks again for his word and for this prayer line and for all those who come on it from time to time, even the silent listeners. I pray that you, Lord, that you will bless them this evening. Bless each one of us as we come here and try to encourage each other, because only by encouraging others can we be encouraged. And this afternoon, this evening, as we come on this line, Lord, let us not sit quiet, but some word of, some little speech, some little encouragement to those of us who are tired. Because it is very interesting to know that if we stretch our hands to God, we can help others who are sitting in darkness. And there are so many who are sitting in darkness. There's so much that is going on in the world today, we can't even imagine. Right today, I have tomorrow, my son-in-law, he will be burying two of his relatives. They got into accident. And he went down there early this morning. He fly down to Florida. And I'm asking for prayers for him, that God would keep him safe and that he will to bless his family and those that are not, to help them to get, to be able to, you know, bear up to what they have to face tomorrow. They lay aside, they will lay them to rest, maybe Sunday, Saturday, is a service. So I thank you, my brothers and sisters, for being on this line tonight. And I just want to ask God to bless all of us, that we will remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Did I get cut out? Oh, I don't know. I guess that was just going crazy. This phone is crazy. I know what I got this phone for.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Constance. Thank you. Oh, Sister Leo, thank you for helping. The phone went out and the call dropped, and I just.
Sister Carla? Hello? Okay, I think you unmute my phone. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to give God thanks for allowing me to get on the prayer line once again. We done come through another week. We are truly blessed to be alive today. So I when I open up the Sabbath this evening, I just thank the Lord for this week. I thank the Lord for the blessing of his Son, the Holy Spirit, that has guided us through this week and even helped me to cook a meal today that I cooked something different. So I thank the Lord for that. Now I just would like to share a scripture coming from Romans. You know, I had studied this Romans a lot, and I had said once before, I love the book of Romans because it talks about the law of God. And I want to read Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to start with verse 7, and I'm going to read, it says, because the corner of mine is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so I will read Romans chapter 24 through 27. I'm going to continue with that. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, which our physical and mental weakness, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning, which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I got one more, and that's Romans 31 through 39. What shall we then say to these things? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spare not his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who is also making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness or perilous or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I just want to thank God for his word, because if it had not been for the word, my brothers and sisters, this word teach us that the love of God, nobody can separate us. It is that I choose to separate myself from him. And if we choose that, the Bible tells us, he that is filthy, let him be filthy. He that is whatever you are, if you happen to die in our sins, we're going to be that. So I'm saying this to say this to my brothers and sisters. I'm seeking the Most High, because I want to be saved in his kingdom. I want to be part of his kingdom and his righteousness, his holiness. And strive, my brothers and sisters, because the Bible says, he that endure until the end, the same will be saved. So I just want to thank the Lord for the reading and to share on the prayer line and to just encourage my brothers and sisters that we should say, I love you. And the more I say it, I love you, the more God can impress this heart to be able to do just what I say, because the Bible says words have power. So, Father, I'm asking you, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I'm just thanking the Lord for the prayer line. Thank the Lord for you, Sister Carla, and all my brothers and sisters. And may God bless. And have a happy Sabbath, everyone. God bless and keep my family in prayer. The prayer line, brothers and sisters, let us keep everyone in prayer. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, and God bless. Sister Carla, was my line open? Hello?
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola. I don't know. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Were you able to hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I heard you.
Amen.
Yeah. Then my phone cut off. I'm in Virginia, and I'm having some technical difficulty. My phone is dropping in and out. So just keep me in prayer, and I try to, I guess, in the bathroom it's working, so I need to kind of stay in one spot. So, again, thank you, Sister Leola, for helping, and thank you for sharing. And I just want to wish you happy Sabbath. Amen. And if it continues to do that for any reason and you notice it, I will, you know, need your help. Brother Udi wanted to come on at 8:15 short, not after or before, because he'll go live at on Facebook also. So he wants to come in at 8:15. So please, everyone, you know, it's time to share. So please rate, you know, press 1 if you want to share. Please press 1 so that everyone can get a turn, that no one will be left out. And thank you, Sister Consonelli, because it went out while you were talking, and I thought it was your line dropped, but it was my line that dropped, and I couldn't hear anything. So praise the Lord. I thank you again for your sharing and for your song. And for each and every one that comes on to, you know, come together as family in Christ, we come together to praise the Lord, to glorify him, magnify him, talk of his goodness, and testify of all that he has done and all that he's doing, and ask him for continual mercy and love and protection in our life and in the life of our loved one. Yes, I will go to the next caller. Thank you for calling, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. 985-232, your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Tama, Louisiana. Just want to thank the Lord for a great Sabbath. And just want to read a script, a devotion, prayer. Dear God, I pray that my mind will be, dear God, I pray that my mind will always be fixed on you, and I will trust in you completely. Father, may I never pay attention to any distraction that may come my way. Excuse me, I just got distracted with my grandbaby. May I never make my glaze be fully fixed on you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just thank God for his words of wisdom. And this here happened before this. I read this, and this happened with me and my granddaughter. She's 4-year-old. And just and I read it, I had to pause because I had to smile. And when it told me about may I never be distracted. And they get you distracted a lot because they always got something going on. But I thank God for his words of wisdom. We have to sometimes brush them off and pray, because things get in the way and they get uncontrollable. And I just say, well, I need to get on the prayer line, and you have to be good, because I'm getting on the prayer line. Shh. And she just is firm and old. You think she old. But God is good. The kids today, they just is wide spoken, and I mean, I just don't know. It's just a different generation. But God is good. I ask for prayer for my family, for my Advent Mike family, friends, and all those missing, all those that host the prayer line, and all those that all of that make up the prayer line. But the most important is our host and our workers that does the job. When they don't want to, and they know it needs to be done, I thank God for them. They're doing a marvelous job. And just want to keep the sick, the homeless, and all the COVID, and all the others in prayer. God know who they are and where they are. And just want to say everyone have a blessed Sabbath. Brother John is still under the weather. Y'all keep him in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your prayers that you have and for your encouraging words and for all that you do, you know, praying with the other brethren and studying with Sister Powell and Sister Leola and your husband and just taking care of the grandkids and for just the work that you do, because we all have ministry at home, in our community, in our, in, you know, amongst our family, there's ministry. We all have ministry. We all should be busy winning soul for the Lord. So just want to thank you for all that you do, and thank you for joining us. And as you also said that about being distracted, you know, as soon as you said that, I got a text, and I was distracted. So we know the devil is busy distracting us with things, but we have to stay focused, despise the distraction, despise those things that, you know, come, pop up. We have to keep our eyes, keep our minds upon the Lord, keep our eyes, and vertically means upwards, not horizontal, and we need to be focused, amen, and be connected to Christ. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. Please press 1, brothers and sisters. High time. Happy Sabbath. Blessed Sabbath to each and every one of you. Most of our brethren is not on yet, but we will have to, you know, we will have to continue because we know that times wait for no one, not even for us. So we have to continue in thanksgiving and praise and honor to the Lord. And be faithful to our Lord, even unto death. We ought to be faithful to God because he's a loving God. He's a merciful Father. He gave us everything that we could ask for. At times we don't know what to ask for, but he gave us the best of best, his son Jesus. Amen? And I just, since no one else has raised their hand, I will go ahead and read again, from Mind, Character, and Personality. It says, love for a lost world was manifested every day. Chapter 7, right, paragraph 249.1. first book, Mind, Character, and Personality, chapter 27, paragraph 249.1. Love for a lost world was manifested every day in every act of his life. Those who are imbued by his spirit will work in the same line as those in which Christ worked. In Christ, the light and love of God were manifested in human nature. No human being was ever possessed so sensitive a nature as did the sinless Holy One of God. Amen. Who stood as head and representative of what humanity may become through the imparting of the divine nature. Amen. Continue. The and it's also in the youth instructor. God loves a living spring. The love of God is something more than a mere negation. It is a positive and active principle, a living spring ever flowing to bless others. If the love of Christ dwell in us, we should not only cherish no hate towards our fellow, but we should seek in every way to manifest love towards them. Thoughts from the Mountain Blessed, chapter 58. So we see we are Christ's representative, and as representative, we're supposed to be on the same page, showing the same love, the same long-suffering. We are to be kind and loving to those around us, and we are to show the love of Christ when they are not so lovely to us. And we are in this world, but we're not of this world because this is not our home. So we have to prepare for our home. We have to prepare for our Lord, our King, you know, we have to abide by his principle or government from here. We have to be put it in practice each and every day, abiding in the love of Christ, so that when we get there, it will be second nature to us, because we already practice, we already know about being obedient, we already know about being thankful, about honoring and worshiping our Lord. We know that there's no more sin, no more debt, no more confusion. And that's what we want to be a part of. That's what we desire. So we are doing it from now, showing that we want to pledge our allegiance to the Lord and Savior. Amen. So I believe no one else. Let me check the line. No one else has pressed 1. Okay. So I will ask for some prayer. Again, I didn't know if Sister Consonelli prayed because the line cut off. I believe she did. I'm not sure. I'll ask Sister Leola. I'm not see if you can give us a word of prayer. And I will also give a word of prayer. And if someone else joining us, I'll see if they want to open their line to testify or to pray. Amen. We know where there's 2 or 3 gathered, the Lord is in the midst. And we have our holy angel, our guardian angel is with us. And the Holy Spirit is with us to reprove us, to correct us, to guide us, to, you know, encourage us and to show us and to teach us. So we are not left alone. We're angels are all around us. So ask Sister Leola if she can give us a word of prayer. I'll go ahead and open your line if you're in a position. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Thank you.
My God's great.
Thank you.
Let us pray. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you, Father, for this Sabbath day. We come to thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessing that you have bestowed upon your children on this Sabbath day, Father. You've given us a long week, Lord Father, a week, Father, that we have gotten through. And, Father, it's truly a blessing to be here on this Sabbath evening, Lord Father, to be able to worship and praise you before your people tonight, Father. We thanking you, Father, for the blessing to be alive. We thank and to hear brothers and sisters, Lord Father, that we may not have talked to throughout the week, but Lord, we're hearing their voice tonight. I want to thank you for my sister Brenda, Father, and blessing her to keep the faith. Oh, Father, I'm praising you, Father, and Lord Father, as I'm thanking you for her, Father, I'm thanking you for bringing her to the faith, the Adventist faith, Lord, which she did not choose, Father, because she told me a long time ago that she wasn't going to change until the Lord changed her. So, Father, I see a blessing in her right now. So, Father, I'm thanking you for blessing her to get on this prayer line so many days of the week and speaking and working with her grandchildren. Father, it's a blessing to truly see that change in my sister. So I'm asking you, Father, to continue to work your righteousness in her. Heavenly Father, I lift Brother John up to you tonight, Father. Lord, the enemy know that John have a work that he's doing, that John is seeking you and reading his scriptures, listening to his scriptures, all the things that he know to do, Father, he's trying to do it. So Heavenly Father, and the enemy don't want him to be at peace. He caused the sickness to come upon your son. But, Father, you say if he be willing and obedient to you, that he would be blessed. So, Father, as he's taking the herbs and all these things that you have blessed us with, to have faith in you and to use them according to your will, Father. I'm thanking you that Brother John is taking it and not rejecting it, but, Lord, he is taking it with a blessing. And even some of the things he's so happy, the way of cooking healthy, Lord, he have come a long way. So, Father, I'm thanking you for this blessing and that what we see in Brother John Brother John and Sister Brenda from when they first came on the prayer line. Oh, Father, I can't do nothing but say thank you and praise the Lord, because you say as the spirit blow it, the wind blow it, so is the spirit. And we don't know when a person have come to you, but, Lord, you bring them to you according to your will. You say some are called and some are few are chosen. Some are called, some are chosen few, however that go, Father. But, Lord, we want to thank you for the brother and my sister, Lord, Father. And now I'm lifting up the grandchildren, Father. Lord, I'm asking you to touch the heart of these little ones, Lord. Lead them, Father. Help them to recognize that our Savior Christ that's in heaven is working with these little children, and we have to be that good example to them. Oh, Father, I thank you, Father, for this little girl that take notice in so many things, Father, and she is singing songs with Sister Power. She's praising God. Father, allow her brother to take part. So, and I lift up their mother, Father. I lift up my niece, Wenika, Father, even with her job. Father, she's at the job and COVID running rapid, Father, and she catching these things. Father, I want to thank you for helping her to overcome this virus. So, Father, I thank you and not letting her fall sick with this. Thank you for not allowing her children, my sister Brenda, and just thank you for keeping me home. Now, Lord, as we lift up the rest of the brothers and sisters, Lord, you see what we need here on this prayer line. We need you. We need you, Jesus. It's nothing we can't do about ourselves. Nothing, Father. So we need our beloved elder brother, and that he can teach us all things. And the things that he help us with, Father, as the word I just read in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit help our infirmities, our weakness, our moral, our mental, and our physical. He help us, Father. And I'm praying, Father, for each and every one of us on this prayer line. Help us, Lord, to attend to your word, and your word would help us to understand that we will grow and we will gather together as sisters and brothers on this prayer line in love, as Christ said. He said, above all things, love is charity. And this is the most of all is love. So, Father, if we can love, if we can speak love, if we can tell our brothers and sisters, I love you, oh, Father, help me right now. Take away the wickedness, take away any evil, take away anything that's in my heart, in anyone's heart, Lord, because we got to be holy, we got to be perfect. So tonight, Father, we ask you to create in us clean heart and renew that right spirit in us, Father. Oh, Father, touch the heart of your children. And, Father, I lift Sister Carla up to you also. Lord, her and her family. Father, she's out of town right now, out of state. Father, I'm asking and I'm praying for her, Father, to give her to you, because, Father, there's things she requests. And, Father, you know most about your daughter, so I'm asking you to please have mercy. And, Lord, bless her according to your will. Lord, I'm thanking you for what I have. I'm thanking you for knowing her, first of all, and I'm thanking you for blessing me to meet her, to be with her and do things and all these things. Father, just thank you. I'm asking you to bless our children. And, Lord, help our children. Help them, Lord, Father, to know you, to keep your word, to follow you, to study your word, all these things. And I'm praying that for each and every one of our families. So, Father, we also lift up Brother Udy tonight, Father, as he bring the message. Lord, Father, let this message touch the heart of all. And, Lord, we ask him for a blessing upon his family, asking you to keep him, watch over him, protect him. And, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, Father. And, Lord, allow us to hear on this prayer line your words that's going to change us and convict us and help us to turn, Father, from our ways, and that we follow your son, whom you left gave an example for us. So we thank you right now, Father. We pray for all others. Lord, can't call them by name, but I lift up all my brothers in prayer line, and may you be with each and every one on this night and tomorrow. Keep us safe, Lord. Protect us. And, Lord, Father, let us listen to the Spirit, because the Spirit says don't go. And, Lord, and that's the Spirit will protect us. Thank you, Father. I pray all this in your son, Jesus Christ's name. And I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Loyola, for that prayer. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I see Brother Eli has joined us, and he has his hands up. I'm going to open your line, Brother Eli. Please be brief. We're praying right now, and we will... Brother Udy will start in about 5 minutes. So please be brief and as you share. 857-505, your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Hello, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath to all of you, beloved. My name is Brother Eli. I like to thank God for his love. I like to thank God for his mercy, for his grace, because God is good. God is merciful, brothers and sisters. Just like Brother Udy say, brothers and sisters, have faith in the Lord, because God is able to do all things. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I have a prayer request, Sister Carla. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mom. Lift for my mom in prayer, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, please lift me up in prayer. Pray for Brother Jihari. Lift for Brother Jihari in prayer, Sister Carla. Pray for Brother Jamal, please, because Sister Carla, Brother Jamal is saying bad things about me, but please lift him up in prayer because he needs a few prayer, Sister Carla, just like Sister Miola already prayed already. So I'm asking Sister Carla to tell Brother Udy after the prayer line, after Brother Udy's finished with the message, Sister Carla, can you tell Brother Udy do a few prayers? I don't know, can Brother Udy mention it on the prayer line? Because just like before, Brother Udy, you remember when you mentioned it before, that people, they need,
amen,
like a few prayer, Brother Udy. Pray for Brother Jamal, Brother Udy, because Brother Jamal needs prayer. Sister Carla, Brother Jamal needs prayer because he's saying
bad things
about me. So please lift up Jamal in prayer, because Sister Carla, I'm feeling discouraged at the moment. I'm feeling sad, Sister Carla.
Yes, I will do it now. Don't feel discouraged, Brother Udy. I'm sorry, Brother Eli. Don't feel discouraged. I mean, we all get there sometimes, but I just want to encourage you. Give it to the Lord. You know, don't feel discouraged. Give everything to the Lord. He knows what we're going through. He's been through it, you know, and we have to go through it. We have to be strong, Brother Eli. We have to be strong in the Lord, knowing that this too shall pass. We have to know that we are overcomer, and we have to give it everything, all our problems, our burdens to the Lord. And as we read in Matthew chapter 11, I'll turn there right quick. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. What does it say? Let's see. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, Brother Eli, be encouraged that God will take care of everything. We just have to continue to pray for these individuals, continue to pray for our friends, our loved ones, as they, you know, come against us in whatever fashion or way. But we have to be brave and strong. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, you know everything about us, oh Father. You know our waking up and our lying down. You know our thoughts are far off, oh Father, and I ask that you will forgive us, Lord. I ask that you will help us and strengthen us. I ask, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will renew a clean heart within us, oh Father. Our hearts is filthy and dirty, oh Father. What we have looked upon throughout the week, the TV shows that many are looked upon, the radio station, and the things that are being heard and things that are being said, oh Father, is not right, Lord. Help us, oh Father, to keep our mind upon you. Help us to trust in you with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind, and not to lead unto our own understanding, but in all our ways, Lord, all our ways to acknowledge you, oh Father, knowing that you will direct our path. You will lead us in the right way, oh Father. You will not lead us astray, but you die so that you can lead us, so that we can accept you as our personal Savior. Lord, I thank you for each and everyone that have joined us, Lord. You know the unspoken prayer requests. You know the hearts of your people, what they're going through in the city, in the country, in the valley, oh Father. You know what they're dealing with, the heartaches, the fretfulness, the fear of what is coming upon the earth as an overwhelming flood. But you said you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Lord, we thank you, O Father. You said you'll never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, O Lord. We praise you, O Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask that you will have mercy upon us, O Father. And we know that you are our King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We know that you are our provider, our Alpha and Omega. There's no one like you. And I lift up Brother Eli, Father. I ask that you will bless him in a special way, his prayer request. Oh, Father, I ask, oh, Father, that you will beat back the foe that's trying to come against him, Brother Jamal, and whoever, you know, have come against him, oh, Father. We ask that you will change their heart, oh, Father, and give him love for Brother Eli, love for you, brotherly love, oh, Father, and that Brother Eli will be encouraged. He will be blessed, oh, Father, and continue to be a blessing to those, oh, Father, that call him name and talk about him, to those that are not treating him kindly, oh, Father, and whatever Brother Eli is doing, oh, Father, you know everything, oh Father. I ask that you will forgive Brother Eli. I ask that you will create in him also a clean heart. I ask that you will put a new spirit with him. Take out the stony heart. Put in the heart of flesh, oh Lord. Bless Brother Eli, mom, in a special way. Continue to provide for them. Continue to protect them, oh Father. Continue, oh Lord, to bless them, oh Father. We just thank you ever so much, Lord. We praise you, oh, Lord. We don't praise you enough, Lord. And I thank you for Safe Journey, for bringing me here in Virginia. I thank you for the work that you have for me to do, Lord. Help me to be faithful. Help me to do it, oh, Father. Help me to trust in you, oh, Father. I present the youth, oh, Father, especially my daughter, my son, my brothers and sisters, children, and their family, the wives and the husbands, the grandbabies, oh, Lord. The nieces and nephews, O Lord, the cousins, O Father, I present them before you, O Father. We all have the wayward family, O Father, that don't seem to care about you, don't seem to know you or want to have a relationship with you until they are in danger, Lord, and they remember you, O Father. May they turn from that backwards way. May they serve you in the good time and the bad time. May they serve you with all their hearts, Lord. because they know not the hour of your visitation, or they know not the hour that they will depart, O Father, because you said you will come as a thief in the night to those that don't know you. Father, please forgive our family. Please help us. Please help them, O Father, to make that blessed assurance of accepting you as their Savior, and to make their calling and election sure. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the Sabbath day. We thank you, Lord, for protection. We thank you for peace. We thank you for a home, for warmth in the midst of this storm, this snowstorm, oh, Father, the rain, oh, Father, whatever the storm is going on in our life, the storm of doubt, the storm of fear, the storm of confusion, the storm of anger, the storm of mismanagement, our money, mismanaging our time, oh, Lord, mismanagement of our ability, oh, Lord, our anger, even our appetite, overcoming appetite, oh, Father. We ask that you will help us, oh, Father. We ask, oh, kind and loving Father, that you will strengthen us, Father. We thank you ever so much, Lord, for hearing, for answering each and every one of our prayer, silence prayer, and our prayer as a whole, Lord. We thank you, Father, and we glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray with thanksgiving and honor. Amen. Amen. And Brother Yuni, we have like 2 more minutes and we have to start exactly on time. Can you press 1 if you're on, Brother Yuni, so that I can open your line? I just want to say happy Sabbath to my brothers and sisters. God is good and he's truly worthy to be praised. And again, we want to start on time, and we have about 2 minutes, so I see someone want to share, please. We have 2 minutes, so please, if you're able to share within 2 minutes, I will open your line. Amen. 931-724, your line is open.
Amen. Happy Sabbath to all. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way, he will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he leads me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fail, but his word will still remain. And he will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way, he will make a way. And by a roadway in the wilderness, he leads me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fail, but his word remain the same. And he will do something new for you. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. How he works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for you. He will be your guide. Hold you closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. Thank you, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. Yes. Yes, Elder Richardson, thank you for that song. Happy Sabbath and blessed Sabbath to each and every one. God will make a way. He always do, brothers and sisters. We have to be faithful, and we have to trust him to lead in our life. Amen? And now I'll turn it over to Brother Yudi. Amen. Brother Yudi, are you able to hear me? Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Okay. Happy Sabbath, Sister Carla.
Amen.
And amen. Happy Sabbath. And thank you once again for joining me this evening. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yes, loud and clear. We can hear you.
Amen. Amen. What it is a wonderful privilege for me to be here once again on this broadcast. I want to remind you all, for those who are on the prayer line listening, as we are hearing you listening to us, you can join us live at this time on our Facebook page. If you don't mind muting your phone there, Sister Carla, I hear some feedback, or whomever is on the host key. If you can join us live on Facebook, we are definitely on even at this time as we share tonight's message. And I'm going to prepare, as we open up with the message for this evening, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. And as we study God's word together, I invite for you to get your Bibles and pens ready. And we're going to be going over some familiar ground this evening, but at the same time, we understand that this might not be as familiar to some as it is going to be unto others. We're going to be in the book of Zechariah, the third chapter, and I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit and the Lord to be here with us as we study God's word together on this first Friday of the year 2022. First Friday of the year 2022. And we are going to begin with a word of prayer as we start at this hour. I'm going to kneel. You may be, if you're able, you can do so with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for the great privilege that we have to speak life unto those who are dead. We thank you, Father, for Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. As we open up tonight with this broadcast and this message, may you send your angels that excel in strength to speak to us. May we be attentive unto your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Once again, I want to welcome you all who are listening on the Advent Light Ministry prayer line. And again, those who have a Facebook page, you may find us even now live on Facebook as we begin our message for this evening. We're going to open up our message this evening in the book of Revelation chapter 14. Notice what the Bible says in Revelation the 14th chapter. And our message title for tonight is For Such a Time as This. Again, we are in Revelation the 14th chapter. And notice what the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 14. This is significant for us to begin with tonight as we begin these series of studies here on this live broadcast. And we intend to bring these studies each and every Sabbath Friday evening, Sabbath morning, if you will. And then we will let you know about more of our broadcasts as we continue and pick up these broadcasts live again. Notice what the Word of God says in Revelation the 14th chapter. We're going to begin at verse 6 tonight. We're going to look at the first angel's message, They're going to see the similarity here with the first angel's message in the work that is being done even now in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary above, in comparison with the work that the enemy at the same time is doing, as Christ is doing a special work in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary above. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Revelation, the 6th chapter. The Bible reads in Revelation, the 14th chapter, in verse 6, rather, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth." Notice that this gospel is not just any gospel, but this is an everlasting gospel. It is an everlasting gospel. That word is significant for us to underscore, because the gospel is everlasting. The gospel is the message of Christ Jesus. It calls us to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And the very purpose of this gospel is not merely for us to hear that which it is to say to us, but at the same time, this gospel is to cause a change in effect. It is to cause a change in the lives of those who receive the gospel. And we see that in the book of Romans, the 1st chapter. As we turn in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1. Romans, the 1st chapter, and we're going to consider Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." So the gospel is the power of God. And so we see here the everlasting gospel that is being given, or that is being not merely spoken of, but this gospel is to be demonstrated. It is to be demonstrated in the lives of those who have received this gospel. And notice what it says in verse 16 as we continue to read Romans 1. It says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And then the Bible says in verse 17, "For therein," meaning in the gospel, "for therein is," note, "the righteousness of God." My friends, do we have an idea or an understanding of what it is meant by the righteousness of God? The very righteousness of God is found therein. It is found in the gospel. So as we experience the gospel is something that is to be experienced. It is something that we are to feel. It is something that is to be replicated. And the Bible says that this very gospel, or this experience, is none other than the very power of God that we are to experience. For this power of God, we are told, is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just shall live by faith." So we see Christ's righteousness in this gospel being replicated, being demonstrated in the lives of those who have received this everlasting gospel. And notice what it says. We're back at Revelation 14 in verse 1. It said, "I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel." Now, to preach unto them that dwell where? On the earth. So notice that as we receive this gospel, as we receive the very power of God, as we receive the very power of God that leadeth unto salvation, that this power or this experience is not to be kept for ourselves, but rather this experience is to be also shared with others. It says here, it is to be preached unto them that dwell on the earth, and note carefully, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So this is a universal gospel. This is to be a universal message that is to be given to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 7, because this is interesting. As we dive into the 7th verse of Revelation 14, the Bible says, "Now saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. So notice carefully that there is something here that this gospel is primarily announcing. At the inception of this message, at the inception of this first angel's message, the Bible tells us that this very gospel is saying something, and it is announcing the very hour, that means that this is a specific time. It is a specific time. It is to be understood that the very hour of his judgment is a specific time, the Bible says, which is come. And then the Bible reads, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Now, we are in Great Controversy, page 250. Notice what it reads in Great Controversy, page 250. This reads, the first angel's message of Revelation 14, announcing the hour of God's judgment and calling upon men to fear and to worship him, was designed to separate the professed people of God from the corrupting influences of the world. So notice carefully that the very first angel's message was designed to be a separating wedge or a separating cleaver. The prophet of the Lord calls it the mighty cleaver of truth. So the first angel's message is designed to separate us from what? Notice what it says. It is designed to separate us from the corrupting influences of the world. Now, I want to be careful here because the first angel's message, the second, the third angel, is not designed to separate us from the world. Are you following me carefully here? Note what I'm saying. The first angel's message is not designed to separate us from the world because we are to be in the world. We are to be ministering to the world because we've read it in Romans 1:16, for the gospel is the power of God, right? That is to be experienced from faith to faith. And the power of God, once it is experienced by one, it cannot be shut in. Are you following me? We can't take this power and keep it to ourselves. So we need to understand carefully that the first, the second, and the third angel's message is not to separate us from the world. Rather, it is to separate us from the influences of the world. In other words, my friends, the only way that we're going to minister unto souls, the only way we're going to be able to come in contact with individuals and do medical missionary work and experience the very thing that these individuals are experiencing is that we must be in the world. Are you following? But just because we are in the world does not mean that we are to be operated or influenced by the influences of the world. So this is very important for us to understand the key. This gospel is to separate us from the influences of the world, but not to separate us from the world. Jesus shows that clearly in the book of John, chapter 17, when he is speaking, when he is praying that last prayer before Gethsemane. In fact, notice, let's go to the book of John, chapter 17. We are told that John, the book of John, and especially the 17th chapter, is present truth for this time. And also we are told that this chapter is a representation of the type of prayer that Christ is making even now in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary above. So John chapter 17 is a perfect replication. It is a perfect representation of the prayer that Christ is praying right now, even now on our behalf. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 17, verse 15. And I'm saying, and I said it before, and I'll say it again, that the first, the second, and the third angel's message is not to separate us from the world, but the first and the second and the third angel's message is to merely separate us from the influences of the world. Notice what the Bible says in the book of John chapter 17 as we consider Christ's last prayer before Gethsemane. Notice what it says in verse 14 and 15 for the sake of context. The Bible reads, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even I as am not of the world. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So Christ's prayer was not for us to be taken out of the world. The gospel is to be experienced by those who are in the world. The only way that the world can see and confess the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, is by coming in contact with those who have experienced this gospel. And so this gospel is to separate us, not from the world, but from the influences of the world. Point number one, the influences of the world, not the world itself. And then, notice what it says. I'll continue in Great Controversy, page 250. And we are looking at this again. It says, the first angel's message of Revelation 14, announcing the hour of God's judgment and calling upon men to fear and worship him, was designed to separate the professed people of God from the corrupting influences of the world. And it was designed to arouse them to see their true condition of worldliness and of backsliding. So this message pulls to draw us away or cut us out of the query of the corrupting influences of the world, the first angel's message, the second, and the third. In addition to that, this message was also designed for us to see and arouse us to see our true condition, amen, of worldliness and of backsliding. Continues, says in this message, God has sent to the church a warning which, had it been accepted, would have corrected the evils that were shutting them away from him. Have mercy. Had they received the message from heaven, humbling their hearts before the Lord and seeking in sincerity a preparation to stand in his presence, the Spirit and power of God would have been manifested among them. My friend, notice what this says. Had we received the message from heaven, had we humbled ourselves, had we humbled our hearts before the Lord in seeking a sincerity, seeking a preparation to stand in his presence, we are told the Spirit and power of God would have been manifested among us. Continuing, it says, the church would again have reached that blessed state of unity, of faith, and of love, which existed in apostolic days, when the believers were of one heart and of one soul, and spake the word of God with boldness, when the Lord added to the church daily such as would be saved. And notice, my friends, that the first angel's message is designed to do two things. It is designed to separate us from the corrupting influences of the world. It is also designed to show us our condition and to see and to show us our backslidings. Now, the Bible says in Revelation 14, verse 7, that this message is saying, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. I want to read this from Manuscript 16, 18, 90. Notice what it says. It says, to give God glory, to give glory to God is to reveal his character in our own and thus make him known. And it is whatever way we make known the Father or the Son, we glorify God. Let me read that again. It says, to give glory to God is to reveal his character. So that word, fear God and give glory to him, is a symbol of us representing his character. Now, here's the thing. We are to represent the character of God. Amen. But to whom are we to represent the character of God to? Well, we are to represent the character of God beginning in our homes, beginning in our homes. I want to show you this, friends, because, you know, oftentimes we talk about issues in the church, right? And oftentimes we talk about the condition of the church, and which is fair game. Oftentimes we talk about the apostasies and things that are happening, but as I was assessing and analyzing, I began to see something. My friends, what is the condition of our homes? What is the condition of our homes? You know why? Because the home is in the church, I beg your pardon, the church is an extension of the home. In other words, they are one of the same. Amen? It is an extension of the home. The church is the people that are found therein. Yes, amen? I get that. It is the people, no doubt about it. But at the same time, my friends, the things that we see reflecting in the church finds its inception or finds its beginning in the home. Now, I want to show you this in the book Adventist Home, page 15, paragraph 2. Adventist Home, page 15, paragraph 2. Adventist Home, page 15, let's begin at paragraph 1. The Bible says, society is composed of families, and it is what the heads of families make it. Out of the heart are the issues of life, and the heart of the community, that's one, the heart of the church, that's two, and the heart of the nation, that's three, is the household. So we have an issue here, my friends, because the issue that we see arising in the community, in our community, the issue that we see arising in our nation, the issues that we see arising in our churches find its root, find its inception, find its beginning in the home. And so, my friends, the reflection that we see in the church that is being portrayed on the outward appearance actually begins in the home. Now, here's the issue. A lot of these issues are not seen within the home because they are sheltered. Are you following me, my friends? A lot of the homes are sheltered, and as a result, we cannot see these issues displayed. And so as a result, we see it being displayed in the community. We see it being displayed in the church, and we see it being displayed even in our households. Now it says the well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depend upon home influences. The elevation or deterioration of the future society will be determined by the manners and morals of the youth growing up around us. So we have an obligation. We have a duty. We have a most solemn obligation to take possession of the youth that is growing up around us, to begin in our homes, to begin the revival in our homes, to begin the revival in our homes, because society is a simple reflection of the church. And notice what it says, and how we're going to do this, the sanctuary must be brought in to this message, if you will. The sanctuary must be understood. The sanctuary must be replicated. That sanctuary that the Lord told Moses to build, a perfect replica of the copy of the true sanctuary that he saw in heaven, was to be replicated upon the earth. And that sanctuary, yes, it was a physical sanctuary, but that sanctuary was a representation of that which our homes should be. Notice what it says. I want to show you this. In Adventist Home, page 15, paragraph 3, it says, our homes should be made all that the word implies. It should be a little heaven upon the earth. So the home should be a little heaven upon where? Upon the earth. So my friends, how can the church be a little bit of heaven upon earth when the home is in chaotic? When our homes are a mess, the home should be a little heaven upon the earth. It should be a little heaven upon the earth. It should be a place where the affections are cultivated instead of being studiously repressed. Our happiness depends upon this cultivation of love, sympathy, and true courtesy. The sweetest type of heaven is a home, amen, where the Spirit of the Lord resides. If the will of God is fulfilled, the husband and wife will respect each other and cultivate love and confidence. And so notice that the reflections that we see within our churches, the reflections that is portrayed within our community, the reflection that is being portrayed in society is a reflection of the home. Now, mind you, let's put this right here for a moment, and then let's pick up what is happening in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary above. This is significant because as our homes is in this condition, as our churches are in this condition, there is a judgment that is being taken place, even in the heavens above. And this copy that Moses replicated of that which he began to see that he saw in heaven was a direct replica of that which he saw. And in that he saw, God brought a little bit of heaven upon earth by giving him the pattern for the sanctuary. He gave us the pattern for the home. He gave us the pattern for the church. He gave us the pattern for these things by allowing Moses to view these things with open faith. Amen? Notice what the Bible says in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 25. We're going to Exodus, the 25th chapter. Exodus chapter 25, and notice what the Bible reads. In Exodus chapter 25, we will begin in Exodus chapter 25 at verse number 8. Are we together? Exodus 25 and verse 8. The Bible says in Exodus 25 and verse 8, we're looking at the first angel's message, and we're looking at its significance to the issues that we see arising in society and the issues that we see arising in our home, issues that we see arising in our communities as well as our churches. For the church, the community, and society is merely an extension of the home. And so if we want to attack these issues, we must begin first in our homes. The Bible says in Exodus 25, beginning at verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God wants to dwell among his people. He wants to dwell in our hearts. And I want you to understand, in verse 22, we are told this, and there I will meet with thee, speaking of the mercy seat, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee above the mercy seat from between the two cherubims. So the mercy seat had two cherubims, one on the left, one on the right. And there the throne of God sat, and the Shekinah glory was shining through, my friends, and underneath the foundation of that actual sanctuary, the foundation of the throne room of God in heaven, was none other than the two tables of stone, the two pillars of our faith, which is God's holy law and his Ten Commandments. The Bible says, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. And notice what the Bible says as we continue. So God was to meet there with his people. He was to meet there with us. He wants to meet with us, my friend, in our homes. He wants to meet with us. But first, our hearts must be ready so that he can truly meet with us. Now, we are back in Revelation 14 again. The Bible says, worship him which made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. God wants us to give him the glory. God wants us to understand the relevance of the sanctuary which is in heaven to that which is taking place right now, even at this time. But I want to show you another picture of what is going on as Christ is doing a special work in the most holy place. As the first angel's message is being sounded, as the first angel's message is being replicated, even now at this time, we know the second and the third angel's message, all of these things are applicable for this time. But the first angel's message is especially applicable at this time for the people of God. But I want you to understand what is actually taking place. As this message is being given, as we are to have this experience, the experience of the first angel, which produces none other than the practical experience of the 140 and 4,000 that we find in Revelation 14, verses 1 through 6. This is the experience that we are to have as we experience this message, a practical gospel, a practical work needs to be done in these last days. It is not a theoretical message, very minute. It is mostly practical. And so those who are living a practical message, those who understand the practicality of the third angel's message would rise up, my friends, and begin to do a special work right in their homes. They would begin to do a special work right in their homes. They would begin to search their own hearts. They would begin to have a conversation with the members of the family. They would begin to pray together. They would begin to humble themselves to see whether or not in this judgment hour that is come, whether or not they can pass this judgment, not through their own righteousness, but merely and only through the righteousness of Christ. Notice what the Bible says as we look at another picture of the judgment, another picture of that which is taking place in heaven, that which is taking place even now as this judgment is happening. We're going to Zechariah, the third chapter tonight. Zechariah, the third chapter. And notice there is a bit of issue here that is taking place in Zechariah, the third chapter. Notice what it says in Zechariah, the third chapter, beginning at verse 1. And the Bible reads, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." That word resist means that Satan is standing at his right hand as an adversary. He is an adversary of truth. He is an adversary of the practicality of the gospel. He is an adversary of the human race. Satan is standing as Christ is officiating in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary above. As Christ is officiating, Satan is standing, my friends, we are told, at his right hand to resist him, to be his adversary, to resist the work in which God is desiring to do in these last days. And that is the work of purifying. The Sabbath that we find in the first angel's message, the worship him that gave him, and worship him that gave him glory, and worship him and give him glory for the hour of judgment has come. The Sabbath commandment that we see that is lying there and within this message, my friends, is a representation of how we are to be sanctified through the truth in which we have received. We are to be sanctified through the truth. The Sabbath is a special time where God comes and meets with our families. He comes and meets with our homes. He comes and meets with us on one-to-one. And the Bible says that he sets us apart for a holy use, for a holy purpose. Not only does he set us apart from the influences of the world, but he sets us apart for his holy purpose. The Bible tells us, continuing in Zechariah, the third chapter, "And he shows me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist." Why is Satan standing at the right hand of Joshua as Joshua is coming to pray before the Lord? This is showing what actually takes place when we pray. Are you following me, friends? This is showing what actually takes place when we kneel down to pray, that there is an adversary, the devil, who is walking about, seeking whom he may devour, who is waiting and ready for us to get on our knees to tell us that we are not any good, that God cannot accept our prayers. But if you understand the signs of prayer, especially within the context of the sanctuary, you would never doubt when you are praying. Because you know something, my friends? The incense that is mingled with our prayer is the representation of the righteousness of Christ. And as we pray, as we are before the altar of incense, understanding that Christ is also in the most holy place and has been there since 1844, doing a special work of cleansing his homes, cleansing his church, cleansing the people, cleansing our hearts, as Christ is doing this special work, we are to understand, that our prayers are ascending before him because of his own merit and his own righteousness. It has nothing to do with us, because our righteousness is as filthy, filthy, filthy rags. Are you following me, my friends? So Christ is waiting for our prayers. Christ is waiting for our prayers. He's waiting for our intercession. But at the same time, I want to show you what Satan is doing as we are praying. I want to show you what he's doing. In Joshua, in Zechariah, the third chapter, it says, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing where? At his right hand to resist him. Now, Satan is standing at his right hand to accuse Joshua, standing at his right hand as an adversary, not as a friend. Now, we see the same thing also happening in the book of Job. When Job was presenting himself before the Father, and the Bible says Satan came along with him. This is the situation that we have to understand the science of prayer. Because if we truly understand the science of prayer, we would understand there's always an adversary that would stand in order to, we are told that he is seeking to block our way to the mercy seat. Are you following? Satan is seeking to block our way to the mercy seat. But if we understand that by faith and by the merits of Christ Jesus, our prayers are heard, we would never approach prayer in any kind of way or any kind of manner or fashion. Because we would then understand that as Christ is doing a special work of cleansing, that as Christ is desiring to cleanse our hearts, desiring to cleanse our homes, desiring to cleanse our minds, we would understand that it is only his righteousness that can be presented before the Father, for that is the only language that the Father understands. The Father does not understand our language. He understands the language of Christ. He understands his merit. I want to show you this tonight. Hold your finger in Zechariah. We're going to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. As we look into the significance of prayer this evening in the sanctuary above in relations to the work that is being done even now in the most holy place. Romans, the 8th chapter. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. I will begin at verse number 24. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 24. The Bible reads, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Notice that our prayers does not ascend to God because of our will. Our prayer does not ascend to God because of what we have done. No, my friends. Our prayers does not ascend to God because of our past experiences. But our prayers simply and only is accepted or ascending before the Father because the Spirit itself is making intercession for us. And it is in the Spirit, as we pray in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can actually present our prayers before the Father. The Holy Spirit can actually present our prayers before the Father. And we, my friends, have no merit of our own righteousness to offer. None, nothing. We have no merit to offer the Father. We have nothing good that we have done. It doesn't matter how much medical missionary work we've done. It doesn't matter how much people we've prayed with. No merit of our own self can be offered before the Father, and it will not be accepted. Because all of our righteousness is sin. All of our righteousness is our filthy rags. It is only as we understand within the context of the sanctuary that the altar of incense perfumes our prayer, which is a representation of the righteousness of Christ. It is only then that we can present this prayer before the Father, and our prayer can be accepted. And even so, we are told in Romans 8, verse 27, that the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Not our will, but according to God's will. This is the same prayer that Christ prayed in at Gethsemane. We see this as he said, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will be done." So Zechariah, now we're back in Zechariah chapter 3, as we look at this in light or in context of the sanctuary. In Zechariah, the third chapter, we see Joshua standing as a high priest. This is a high priest. You're not dealing with some individual here. This is a high priest. You understood the work of the high priest? What the high priest? You understood what the high priest had to wear? The dress of the high priest? The high priest had on holy garments. All of these things, it was a representation of Christ's righteousness. I want to show you the dress of the high priest real quick. Let's go to Exodus chapter 28. You got to see this. Exodus 28. Notice what the Bible says. Because we're not dealing with some individual here. We're dealing with a high priest who is praying. And the Bible says that Satan is standing at his right hand to accuse, to resist, and to be his adversary. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 28. Notice what the Bible says regarding the clothing of the high priest. Exodus chapter 28, because we are looking at the first angel's message of Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. I want to show you the dress of the high priest. Are we together? Exodus 28, we're going to begin at verse 28. Exodus 28 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof, unto the rings of the ephod, with a lace of blue." Now, the blue lace was a symbol of God's law. It says that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loose from the ephod. Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel. Aaron here is the type of Christ. Aaron is a type of Christ. He is presenting the prayer of the tribe of Israel. The Bible says he will bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. Christ has us on his heart, my friends. Christ is interceding before the Father, and he has his people on his heart. He is interceding for us. He does not want us to perish. He wants all of us to come to repentance. Christ does not hate the sinner. He hates the sin. But if the sinner does not separate from sin, he will consume sin in the sinner. I want to say that again. I want to say that again. Christ loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. But there's going to come a time when the sinner must separate from sin. Because if Christ hates the sin and the sinner does not separate from sin, he will consume the sinner in the sin. Because the Bible says that the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That word death is the word sin, because the wages of sin is death. Christ is saying the day, the time for you to separate from sin is today. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. And so Christ loves the sinner, but he's saying, now it is time to separate from sin. As I'm doing this work in the most holy place, as I'm cleansing the most holy place from defilement, from sin, it is time for us to separate ourselves from sin. Sin cannot remain forever. Sin must be eradicated. It must be destroyed, and it will not rise up a second time. And so Christ is testing us as he is in the most holy place. As we are continually cleansing our hearts, he is seeing, he is looking, and he is doing a work of judgment. And as he's doing this work, we are to be preparing our hearts to be cleansed. We are to be cleansing our hearts from defilement and from sin. Let's close in this chapter here as we look at the rest of this, and then we're going to move on, and we'll pick up again next time. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel. I'm in Exodus 28, verse 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. Again, Aaron here is a representation of who? Of Christ. When he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord, continually. So notice that this was a continual memorial. And the word memorial means to remember. It's a similar word as the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is a memorial. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It says, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment. Verse 30. The Urim and the Thummim. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart where he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord when? Continually. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. And there shall be a hole in the top of it, and in the midst thereof it shall be a binding of woven work around the whole of it, as it were the whole of a harbigon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet. Now notice, at the hem of the garment of the high priest were to be pomegranates of blue, of purple, and of scarlet. Now, those three colors are significant because those three colors, you do not see it replicated in the false church of Revelation 17. The Roman Catholic Church does not have blue. Their robe is only of scarlet and of purple. Purple, a symbol of royalty. Scarlet, a symbol of sin, and also could be a symbol of cleansing in a sense, because the Bible says in Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, yet they shall be as white as snow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Blue, a symbol of the law of God, is not found within the false churches robe or attire. That's important. I want to just put that point over here on the side for you to remember that. Okay? But in the high priest's robe, this garment, this holy garment, that the high priest were to wear, and again, the holy garment, you know, was a representation of the robe of Christ. It was a representation of his righteousness. Now in the earthly sanctuary, we're not, you know, these garments, this work that was to be done was a perfect representation. It was a perfect representation of what Christ would be doing for us. It was given us, the sanctuary model was given us to understand salvation, to understand the work that Christ was to be doing for us. And so notice what it says. Again, it says here, we are in verse 32, and in there it, verse 33 rather, and beneath upon the hem of it, shall make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet. So those pomegranates were to be at the robe of the high priest. They were to be three colors, primarily blue, purple, and scarlet. Now, here's the interesting thing that we need to understand. The woman with the issue of blood, that woman was losing life. She was losing blood for 12 years. And she was going to every physician to try to get a cure, but she could not be healed. What part of the garment of Christ did she go for? The hem of the garment. You think she was studying the sanctuary model? She went for the hem of the garment because she was losing blood. And as she reached for the hem of the garment, she came in contact by faith. I'm not saying Christ had on these garments, but by faith, she came in contact by faith with the pomegranate that was at the hem of his garment, which is a good provision to have when you are anemic. And that woman was made whole instantaneously. Now, you know what's interesting, right? The Bible says in the book of Leviticus 17, verse 11, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So what that woman that was losing blood was a symbol of a woman that was losing life. Now, there's another point. A woman in Bible prophecy represents the church. So that woman was a representation of the church that was losing life. So as the church loses life, it must come in contact with Christ. It must come in contact with Christ. And as it comes in contact with Christ, it can gain once again life and stand without sickness, without disease. Anyway, that's a side point. Notice what the Bible says as we close here in verse number 34. The Bible continues to say, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. Verse 35. And the Bible says, and it shall be upon Aaron to minister. Sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. So between the pomegranate of purple, scarlet, of the blue, were to be a golden bell. Now notice what it says in verse 36. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness unto the Lord. So this is interesting, because this signet, or the signet, that word signet, I want you to write it down, means a seal. So this is the seal of God. We're dealing with the seal of the living God. You have a seal of God, and you have the mark of the beast. The seal of God, the signet, that was to be upon the mitre, of the high priest, was to say holiness unto the Lord. And now keep in mind that this mitre, or this hat, wore, this signet, was upon the frontal lobe of the priest. It was on the frontal lobe, right here where the judgment sits. Now I'm working on a series of videos about the brain, and we're going to show how the brain works. And I'm going to show you that the 144,000 who has the seal of the living God written upon their forehead, They do so because they have allowed the judgment seat of their brain, that is the frontal lobe, to overpower where the emotions and feelings are within the brain. Now, you say, Brother Moody, I may not know anatomy and physiology. What does that mean? Okay? Well, here's the word. The actual place where the feelings are housed in our brain is called the amygdala. Okay? The amygdala is the place where our feelings are housed. So in order for us to master our feelings, to master our emotions, in order for us to go through the time of struggle where we are going to be persecuted, where we're going to be pointed at, we must allow our frontal lobe to control our emotions. We cannot allow our emotions to control our frontal lobe. We must have control over it. And so the 144,000, the Bible says that they came to a point in their spiritual experience where the frontal lobe was overpowered by the rest of the brain. Let me just rephrase that. Where the frontal lobe had overpowered the rest of the brain. The frontal lobe was the boss of everything else. In other words, their judgment, their insights, their beliefs, these things were settled, and they did not allow their emotions to run their mind. You know, my friends, this holiness unto the Lord thing is a serious thing. This shows that the high priest, for those that are in, those that are to be connected into ministry, are to be consecrated. God wants us to be consecrated. Our minds have to be pure. Our minds have to be pure. We have to fight. We have to fight this battle. And the Bible says in the book of James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. As we submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee. As we allow our frontal lobe to overpower our emotions, the devil will flee. The devil will flee. We have a work to do. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, that the warfare that we are fighting is not carnal. It is mighty through God, through the pulling down of the stronghold, casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And the Lucifer was unable to do. Lucifer was unable to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so the Bible tells us here that the high priest, this holy garment that he wore, primarily this mitre, was a signet that says holiness unto the Lord. And the Bible says that upon the forefront of the mitre, it says that Aaron might bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Amen. Amen. The time is running out. But I want you to understand that before, that as Joshua the high priest is offering a prayer, as Joshua the high priest is praying before the Father, as Joshua the high priest is praying, Satan comes along to accuse him. Satan comes along to accuse him on his right hand. This is a high priest. Satan comes along and accuses him on his right hand. But I want you to understand, my friends, that what happens after this. The Bible says in verse 2, we're in Zechariah 3, verse 2. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Did you get that? Joshua stood before the angel. Did you guys understand what just happened here, my friend? Then the Bible says in Revelation 14, verse 1, that the 144,000 are standing. They are standing. They're not sitting down. They're not hiding. They're not covering their faces. They are standing up. We have to stand. The Bible says Joshua stood before the angel. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that have chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away his filthy garments. Take away his filthy garments. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquities to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee change of raiment. Amen. I will clothe you, Jesus says, with a change of raiment. My friend, are you wanting to be clothed this evening with a change of raiment? As we understand the theoretical message here, we have to understand its practical application to our life. As Christ is finishing the work in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, are we willing to be changed? Are we willing to remove our clothing? Are we willing to remove our filthy garments? He says, I want to do it. He wants to trade us his righteousness for our dirty clothes. And my friend, our clothes is not going to become clean by doing the laundry. We need the righteousness of Christ. We need the righteousness of Christ. And the Bible says, and I said, verse 5, and I said, let them set a fair what? Mitre upon his head. Have mercy. The high priest was praying. The angel, Lucifer, Satan is standing at his right hand at that time. Satan, not Lucifer, I beg your pardon. Satan is standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Bible says that his garment was filthy. He was not wearing the high priestly garment in the sense, but it was a filthy garment that was on. And you notice there's a change of dress. Christ says, take off this dirty clothes, put upon him my righteousness. Put upon him a fair mitre. And what did the fair mitre say? Holiness unto the Lord. Change his mind. Change his brain. Cleanse his thoughts from filthiness. Cleanse his thoughts from worldliness. Cleanse his thoughts from sexual perversion. Cleanse his thoughts from pornography. Cleanse his thoughts from drugs, from alcoholism. Cleanse his thoughts. The Bible says we are to stand before him with a fair mitre upon our heads. Have mercy. Jesus Christ says, so they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Did you get that? The angel of the Lord did not leave. The angel of the Lord, once, Psalms 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamp round about those that fear him and deliver them. So as Christ removes, as we remove our clothes, I'm sorry, as we remove our clothes, Christ is not going to do it for us. We have to remove the filthy garment because we have to make a decision. There's a choice. As Christ removes our clothes, he has a new dress for us to wear. He puts on the clean dress, the clean clothes, and the mitre. And now what happens is the angel stands by. No longer is Satan on his right hand. No, my friend, no. When we put on the dress, Satan has to flee. He has to flee. The Bible says in verse number 6, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Did you hear what the condition was? There's a condition to coming unto the Lord. There's a condition to having our dress removed. There's a condition that we must meet. And the Bible says that, look, Joshua, you have to what? You have to walk in my ways. No longer your ways, you have to walk in my ways. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So now God says, look, you want a new change of raiment? No longer can you walk in your ways. Now you must walk in my ways. An interesting point when the Bible says in Isaiah 55 that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. If you're dealing with somebody and you want to come to an agreement and the person says my thoughts are not your thoughts and your ways are not my ways, so you are at two opposite points of view. You are at two opposite spectrum. All right? So now in order for us to agree, we can't meet in the middle when we are dealing with Christ, but someone must let go and reject their ways. And it's not God. God is not going to let his way go because he says, my way is in the sanctuary. So we have to reject our ways. We have to reject our thoughts. And we have to come to the Father, and we have to accept his way and accept his thoughts. Amen? So Joshua is told in verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. I want to finish this here with a quotation from letter 360906. This is an experience that is to be reenacted. Are you following me? As we understand that we are now in the closing scenes of this earth's history, we are in the second Sabbath already of 2020. Interesting that the year began on the Sabbath. Oh, are we understanding, my friends, what's taking place here? No, I'm not setting dates, but it is important to note that the year begins on the Sabbath. We are living in earth's final hours. God's people is either going to be right before Canaan, right before the heavenly Canaan, we're going to be deceived as the children of Israel, or we are going to put away these deceptions. We need to search our hearts. We need to search our hearts. Let me tell you something. God cannot save us in groups. God cannot do that. He has to save us individually. We need to spend time with God alone in prayer. We need to spend time with God alone and study. We need to search. Our heart is evil. We have jealousy. We have envy. We have backstabbing. There's so many evil things in the heart. And this heart cannot go, my friend, sin to heaven in this condition. Christ must make the heart over. He must make it over. Search our hearts. What is in our hearts that is keeping Christ away? I want to read this quotation. This is important. Notice what it says here. It says, poor repentant mortal, hear the words of Jesus and believe as you hear those angels that stood before him to do his bidding, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. I will blot out his transgression. I will cover his sin. I will impute unto him my righteousness. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. The filthy garments are removed, for Christ says, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. The iniquity is transferred to the innocent, the pure, the Holy Son of God, and men, all undeserving, stands before the Lord, cleansed from all unrighteousness. Amen. And Christ does more than this. This is the honor that God will bestow upon those who are clothed with the garments of Christ's righteousness, which such encouragement as this, how can men continue in sin? How can they grieve the heart of Christ? My friends, Jesus says, look at my hand. He said, handle me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Handle me. I have engraven you in the palm of my hands. We are told in that great little book, The Great Controversy, the last chapter, we are told that in heaven itself, we will be in perfect harmony. We'll be in a perfect world. All of our scars will go away. Our wrinkles will go away. Okay? Those who are losing hair, like myself, they will gain it back in a perfect place. Where we're going to live for eternity with Jesus, we are told that the only individual who will remain with scars on their forehead, on their hands, on their feet, the spear marks on his side, will be the man Christ Jesus. For in eternity, he will bear these scars as you and I are walking by faith without a single wrinkle, a single spot. And then the prophet says, with such encouragement as this, how can men continue in sin? How can they grieve the heart of Christ? Men who have gone to great lengths in transgression and who have never confessed their sins will seek to bring all the reproach possible upon those whom Satan has worked to destroy. But who have repented and humbled themselves before God, who have confessed their sins to the sin-pardoning Savior and have received pardon. Men who have not repented of their sins and have not received pardon, will tantalize the truly repentant ones, repeating their wrongdoing to those who knew nothing of the wrong done. They accuse and condemn the repentant ones as if they themselves were guiltless. It has been shown me, experience recorded in the third chapter of Zechariah, is now being acted over and will continue to be while men making profession of cleanness refuse to humble their hearts and confess their sins. I digress. My friends, Christ said he wants to cleanse our hearts. We see in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He is standing at the door. He is knocking even now. He is asking you, will you come? Will you remove your garment? Will you allow me to clothe you with the garment of my own righteousness? Will you allow me to come into your heart even now? Let's close. If that is your desire and your will, I invite you to bow, to kneel with me as we come before the Father, as we present his perfect merit, as we present his perfect righteousness, as we present his character. The Father will understand. Those who are seeking, they will find him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the message pray you will help us to continue to present these gems. We ask that you will help us to continue to seek after you while you may be found. On this, the second Sabbath of 2022, the first Friday of 2022, we come with our hearts broken to ask of thee that you would cleanse us, to ask that you would remove defilement, you would remove jealousy, envy, backstabbing, the evil eye, the pointing of the finger from your people, because we see ultimately it is Satan that is standing to resist. We do not want to do his work, but we want to do your work. We ask for you to be with us this Sabbath as we minister unto others and as you remove from us our own righteousness. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Yudi, for the message straight from the throne of God. And I want to thank each and every one of my brothers and sisters for joining us. May you have a blessed Sabbath in the Lord. May you be filled with his Holy Spirit as we continue in his love, as we continue to strive to be overcomer. Amen. Jesus have done everything for us. It's now up to us to accept. He put this day for you to choose, and we have to choose the right path, the narrow path. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you again, brothers and sisters. Please have a blessed night. I pray that you got all the scriptures and that you can share it with others tomorrow or this week.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Thank you.